traditions to remember God's work. And wouldn't you say God has done some amazing things? So let's remember just a few. Okay, let me give you a little history lesson here. In Genesis 1 and 2 is the account of creation. And with just his words, God created everything. Sun, moon, stars, the earth, oceans, rivers, mountains, valleys, all the animals of the earth, the sky, the sea. He created human beings. And just his words are powerful. In Genesis 7, at his command, the entire earth was flooded enough to cover the highest mountains, and yet he spared a godly man's family as well as a pair of every basic family group of animals. So God demonstrates his justice and mercy simultaneously. God does it. In Exodus, God worked with Moses and did some amazing things. He spoke from within a burning bush. He turned a staff into a snake and back again. He sent various plagues on Egypt all while he was protecting the Israelites. And then he led them out of bondage and he gave them the bulk of Egypt's wealth. And then, if you remember, when Pharaoh changed his mind, God provided a dry path for the Israelites across the Red Sea. And then later, he provided bread from heaven that was called manna, enough to feed that huge crowd of Israelites. Are you seeing how powerful God is? And then God demonstrated his power through various others as well. You might think of Joshua and the wall of Jericho, or Gideon beating the odds in a 450-1 scenario. Samson's great strength came from God. David's defeat of the giant Goliath and his many victories in battle came from God. And then there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace and surviving without even smelling like smoke. And Daniel survived the lion's den. And that doesn't even mention all the works that God did through the prophets. I mean, the list goes on and on of the things God has done. And God was especially impressive in Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. He was perfect in every way. He performed countless miracles, which included healing. He fed 5,000 people with next to nothing. He calmed a storm just by speaking to it. He walked on water. And ultimately, he died on the cross to save us from our sins. And that's not all. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, having conquered the grave, and now he offers eternal life to all who will believe. God has done some pretty impressive things, wouldn't you say? He is amazing. And as we say, God is good. And all the time, that's right, it's good for us to remember what God has done. And when we don't remember, there are negative effects. Last week we talked about how people who are ungrateful become messed up in their thinking and ultimately become darkened and depraved. So when we forget God's goodness and grace, it has a negative impact on our life. It's important for us to remember. You see, forgetfulness leads to a variety of bad things. And the first one is it leads to disdain or pride. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse 10, Moses is giving some instruction to the Israelites, and he says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." You see, when we don't remember what God has done, when we forget, it leads towards pride, and we begin to take credit for those things ourselves, and we begin to think we're pretty awesome. I'm pretty awesome. You see the stuff I've done? But it's really not that way. God does all the fantastic things. You just are privileged enough to be included in his plan. We need to remember that. And if we persist in forgetfulness, it leads to a great downfall, and you'll see it in this progression. Forgetfulness also leads to disobedience. In Psalm 78, in fact, the next several are all from Psalm 78, starting at verse 9, it says, "The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done and the wonders he had shown them." They forgot. And so they turned back and they didn't follow God's law. When we remember God's faithfulness and power, we are more prone to stand strong. And when we remember God's justice, we are reminded to be obedient. But when we forget these things, we tend to falter and fall into disobedience. You know, if we think God is only mercy and grace, then that kind of gives us license to do whatever we want, because God's just mercy and grace. But God is also justice. We need to remember that. Forgetfulness also leads to distrust. In Psalm 78:22, it says, "They did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance." And this is all tied to their forgetting what God has done, and so they began to not really trust God anymore. Reverend James Brown tells a story about learning to fly. And actually, this sounds a little bit familiar, because I went through a similar situation when I was taking flying lessons many years ago. He says, "My instructor told me to put the plane into a deep and extended dive. I was totally unprepared for what was about to happen. After a brief time, the engine stalled, the plane began to plunge out of control. After a few seconds, which seemed like eternity, my mind began to function again, and I quickly corrected the situation. But then immediately I turned to the instructor and began to vent my fearful frustrations on him." He was kind of mad that the guy let him just have to handle that all by himself. But the instructor very calmly said to him, "There is no position you can get this airplane into that I cannot get you out of. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and do it again." At that moment, he says, God seemed to be saying to me, "Remember this. There is no situation you can get yourself into that I cannot get you out of. If you trust me, you will be all right." That's the truth. God is always worthy of our trust, but if we don't remember what he's done in the past, it kind of leads us towards a state of not really trusting him. So we need to rehearse those things so that we don't waver in our faith. Then forgetfulness leads to God's displeasure. Here again in Psalm 78, verse 41, it says, "Again and again they put God to the test." Here, listen. "They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power." They vexed the Holy One of Israel. Did you know you can tick God off? That's kind of the essence of that. They vexed him. That means they ticked him off. When we fail to remember his power and we don't trust him, it can actually provoke him. You know, it's like somebody slapped you upside the head and said, "Haven't I told you before?" That's, God can kind of get that way if we don't really trust him. Be like, "I've shown you and I've shown you and I've shown you. Now you're ticking me off." And of course, God's anger is always a righteous anger, to understand. But when we head down this path, we can get into a place where we're actually displeasing God. And then forgetfulness can also lead to dormancy. In Psalm 78, starting in verse 59, it says, "When God heard them, he was very angry. He rejected Israel completely. He abandoned the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had set up among men, and he sent the ark of his might off into captivity, and his splendor into the hands of the enemy." And so God just kind of backed away. You're not going to trust me? You're not going to follow me? Then okay, have it your way. And when we don't remember and express gratitude for God's goodness, we tend to become complacent. Now, I thought of Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, where it talks about, Paul says he forgets what is past. And that seems to, you know, I'm saying we should not forget, but Paul says we should forget. Okay, well, let me explain that. Paul is not referring to the things that God has done. We're not supposed to forget the things God has done. We should remember those things. But we should forget the things that we have done. Paul's referring to his own accomplishments, his own fleshly abilities, and he doesn't want to just rest on that forever, but he wants to press on to everything that Christ has for him. And so Paul encourages us to forget our stuff, but remember what God has done. And then ultimately, forgetfulness leads to destruction. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses, remember I started with Deuteronomy, and Moses was warning the people, don't forget or you'll become prideful. And then he goes on, he says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. And he all ties it all back to forgetting. If you ever forget what God has done, you will be destroyed. So let's not forget God's goodness. Now, we all go through times when we might question God and wonder what in the world is going on. Right? Okay? But let's never forget God's goodness and faithfulness, even in those circumstances. And now I want to back up to Psalm 77. And starting at verse 7, we see this pattern. Actually, verses 7 through 9, the writer there, he's kind of questioning God about what's going on. But then in verses 10 through 12, he chooses to remember. He makes a conscious choice. I'm going to remember what God has done. And then in verses 13 through 15, he actually remembers how amazing God really is. And it builds his faith. And so I want to say this, remembrance leads to fear of God. When we really remember what God has done, it leads to fear of God. And he says in verse 13, God is holy. God's holiness is his defining characteristic. And somebody wrote online and said, the holiness of God is a term used in the Bible to describe both his goodness and his power. It is completely unique and utterly all-powerful, radiating out from God like an energy. In fact, God's holiness is so overwhelming that it can actually be dangerous to approach. He says, it's helpful to think of God like the sun. The sun is so bright and powerful that its energy radiates out through the entire solar system. It's a good, helpful thing to be within the sun's energy. But the sun itself is so powerful that it's dangerous to get too close. God is holy. And verse 14 says that God is powerful. In the Chronicles of Narnia, Susan and Lucy get ready to meet Aslan the lion, who represents Christ. And there are two animals that are talking. It's Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, and they are helping the children prepare for the encounter. And Mrs. Beaver said, make no mistake, if there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly. Then isn't he safe? Said Lucy. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Paints a pretty good picture Jesus is described as the Lion of Judah. I would be pretty hesitant to just walk up to a lion willy-nilly, wouldn't you? And the Lord shines like the sun. And I'm thankful for the sun, and I wish we could have more of it. But I don't want to get too close because it can burn me up. Now, God makes provisions that there are ways we can get close to him, but not just in a haphazard, just casual way about it. There's proper protocol, proper procedure. God is holy. And when we remember that God is holy and God is powerful, it stirs up some fear and respect in us for who God is. And then remembrance also leads to faith. J.G. Machen says, the more we know of God, the more we unreservedly will trust him. The greater our progress in theology, the simpler and more childlike will be our faith. So in other words, the more you know God, the more you're going to trust him. Faith. And the psalmist says here in Psalm 77, God is greater than all others. God performs miracles. God redeems people. He's just focusing on what God does. He's remembering. And that's who God is. He is trustworthy. We can put our faith in him. It's forgetfulness that leads to distrust. But when we remember that God is greater than all others, he does the miraculous, he redeems people, then our faith is inspired. God is bigger than your problem. God can miraculously change your situation. When you remember everything God has done in the past, it inspires your faith. And then ultimately, remembrance leads to future. Back in Psalm 78, it says these words, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. So the next generation will know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. You see, when we remember and we rehearse and we repeat the things God has done, it influences the next generation. They hear what God has done in our lives, and then their faith is strengthened. And they trust God. And then they tell the stories about what God has done in their life. And it just can go on for generation after generation. This is a good reminder for parents. Make sure your children know God. Tell them what he did in the Bible and what he has done in your life. Perhaps even in the generations that preceded you. You know, I've told some stories about my grandparents, and I wasn't there, but I've heard them tell the story, and now I tell the story, and I tell the story of things that have happened in my life so that this stuff goes on for generation after generation. We need to remember what God has done. Let's remember God's goodness. Psalm 103 talks about this, and it lays some things out for us. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then it lists them off. One of the benefits of God is what I call reprieve. Verse 3 there in Psalm 103 says, he forgives all your sins. There's restoration because God heals all your diseases. There's redemption because he redeems your life from the pit. There's responsiveness because he crowns you with love and compassion. There's refreshing because he satisfies your desires with good things. And there's renewal because your youth is renewed like the eagles. When you don't forget the benefits of God, but you remember and you rehearse and you repeat the things God has done. Let's not be forgetful. Let's remember who God is and what he has done. Are some things coming to mind? Let me me tell you a few. Here's just a few about Open Bible Church here in Boone. About the time we officially decided to add on to the church, this portion back here, we were notified that the church had been included in a will to the tune of about $30,000. Then, just as we were finishing the construction, and we were kind of wishing we had included more money to upgrade our sound system for the new expanded sanctuary, we received a large donation from somebody unexpectedly to the tune of $50,000. And just this year, as we've been praying all year long to finish off the mortgage, we recently received another large donation with $10,000 specifically designated to the mortgage. And we're now under $30,000, and we're a couple of years ahead of schedule. And so when I've been saying, let's get clear by the end of the year, it's not just some wishful thinking. It's based on the facts of what God has already done in the past. Three separate times in this building program, God blessed us financially beyond our imagination. And so I can boldly stand before you and say, let's finish it up by the end of the year. God can do that. You see, my faith is not just kind of wishful, hopeful, I cross my fingers and hope something good's happened, but it's based on facts. I've seen God do stuff in the past. He can do it again. Now let me tell you some of my personal stories. I remember when I should have been electrocuted and killed because I was a stupid teenager. Some of you know the story. Others, I can fill you in if you want to know. I was being dumb, and I should have died. No doubt. I should have died. But we found out later that my grandma felt a strong compulsion to pray for me that coincided with the very time that that happened. God spared me in response to my grandma's prayers. I remember when my car slid on ice and was headed straight for the river. And at the last moment, I hit something that bounced me back onto the road. And it hit hard enough that it bent my rear axle. But it saved me from a frigid swim in the river. I remember when we moved to Oregon to complete my Bible college. On paper, our budget did not add up. But somehow, God provided. God has always been faithful. And that's just a brief smattering, I don't know what the right word is there. It's just a few examples of what God has done. I could tell you more. Some of you have stories to tell. Some are even bigger and better than the ones I'm telling. But we need to remember what God has done. So let's intentionally remember. He is holy and powerful. He is greater than all the rest. He does the supernatural naturally. He restores and redeems and renews. Now, before you leave today, I want you to take a moment and share a brief memory of God's goodness with someone else here in the room. And be inspired. When you share those stories, it lifts you up. I mean, there's people that have gone before me and they've seen the power of God at work and they tell those stories and I'm inspired. I think that's cool. See what God can do? And some of you have some great testimonies, things you could tell. So let's take that time before you leave to mingle a little bit, just share a little bit about what God has done. Be encouraged. God is good and all the time. Remember. Remember. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we remember what you have done. What the Bible tells us you have done, that's history. And we remember because we've read it over and over again. And Lord, more than that, and more recently than that, you have been working in people's lives now. We just heard a testimony this morning about how God answered prayer. And others have testimonies of how God's been working in their life. Lord, we remember and we will not forget what you have done. And Lord, if at any point we start to forget, please remind us. Because we don't want to walk away from you. We don't want to lose our faith and our trust in you. But we want to keep on moving forward with you. And so we remember what you've done. And we rehearse those things and we repeat those things so that we never forget who you are, what you've done, and what you can still do. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God's blessings on you. Take a little time, mingle, share those stories. Have a great week.